the Taliban captured Talokan city in northeastern Afghanistan, bringing to three the number of provincial capitals seized in one day. Yemenis take to the streets of the capital Sana'a to voice their anger at a Saudi-backed decision to raise custom tariffs at the port of Aden. And U.S. rescue teams are working around the clock to find eight people who've gone missing following a historic wildfire ripping through Northern California. Thanks so much for being with us. First story takes us back to Afghanistan this hour, where the Taliban have captured another provincial capital as government forces try to halt the militant group's sweeping advances across the country. Now, according to a security source, the militants have just seized the city of Talokan, the capital of Tahar province. That's the fifth provincial capital that the Taliban have seized in 2 days. Earlier on Sunday, they took over the cities of Saripol and Kunduz. Afghan officials say heavy fighting is continuing in Kunduz. And before that, the Taliban took Zaranj and Shebergan, both provincial capitals. Now, the latest losses are seen as a major blow to the Afghan government that has pledged to push back the militants. The Taliban have already seized dozens of districts and border crossings in recent weeks.
The Afghan Defense Ministry has confirmed the fall of Shebergan, Kunduz and Saripol cities in northern Afghanistan into the hands of the Taliban, saying Afghan troops backed by local armed forces have retreated as an attempt to avoid civilian casualties.
In the meantime, the Defense Ministry also says that government troops backed by local armed forces are planning to conduct a large-scale attack on the captured cities to retake them from the Taliban. A move that, according to military commanders, needs more time.
In such circumstances, locals here look to the ongoing war as unfruitful. They urge the Afghan government, the Taliban and the rest of local players to set aside their differences for the sake of people's demand, which is peace and calm.
None of the foreign players can bring a lasting peace to Afghanistan in the absence of a strong unity among us, especially among main players such as the government and the Taliban. They must set aside their differences and work for the sake of people while not relying on foreigners, mainly the U.S.
Many others also believe that there are some secret dealings behind the recent rising Taliban advances. That is why they want some international bodies, mainly the UN, to intervene in an effort to end what they call a proxy war in Afghanistan.
We, the people of Afghanistan, have realized that there are some dirty foreign hands involved in the rising war and bloodshed in our country. That's why we call on the United Nations to intervene and convince the backers of the conflict to stop their proxy wars in Afghanistan.
The Taliban has expanded its attacks over the recent month, capturing over 200 districts in different parts of the country. The militants are gaining more ground despite suffering heavy casualties during their assaults, mainly on big cities. Syed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
August the 8th marks the 23rd martyrdom anniversary of Iranian diplomats and a news correspondent in the Afghan city of Mazar-e-Sharif. They were killed in an attack on the Iranian consulate in Taliban-controlled Afghanistan. And at the time, Mazar-e-Sharif was embroiled in a battle between the Taliban and the Northern Alliance. While the Taliban had denied responsibility and blamed the consulate attack on renegade forces.
In a statement released on Saturday, the Iranian Foreign Ministry commemorated the Iranian diplomats and a journalist who were killed at the Consulate General of the Islamic Republic of Iran in Mazar-e-Sharif, Afghanistan, in August 1998. The Iranian Foreign Ministry condemned the terrorist attack, saying it was against all international laws and treaties. The body also announced that different aspects of the attack are required to be clarified, and this is a definite demand of the government and people of Iran. 23 years ago, the Taliban captured Mazar-e-Sharif. After that, the group admitted that 10 Iranian diplomats and a journalist had been killed during an attack on the Iranian consulate. The Taliban spokesman said the Iranians had been killed by renegade forces who had acted without orders. Furthermore, the ministry reiterated its call on all parties to the war in Afghanistan to end the conflict and seek a solution in the negotiations. That's while the UN Special Envoy for Afghanistan has warned that the country is heading toward a, quote, catastrophe.
In the past weeks, the war in Afghanistan has entered a new, deadlier, and more destructive phase. The Taliban campaign during June and July to capture rural areas has achieved significant territorial gains. From this strengthened position, they have begun to attack the larger cities.
The Taliban militants have stepped up their attacks across Afghanistan since May, seizing large swaths of rural and urban areas, including some key border crossings. They are now focused on capturing provincial capitals. The Taliban has also vowed to ramp up assaults against top government officials.
U.S. President Joe Biden has reportedly ordered the American Air Force to carry out airstrikes against the Taliban as the militant group continues to advance towards major Afghan cities. Now, it is reported that the Taliban have suffered heavy casualties. Nevertheless, the question remains how the Taliban can believe it can control and manage the country given the developments on the ground.
The U.S. B-52 bombers and Spectre gunships have reportedly targeted Taliban positions in northern Afghanistan. While there has been no confirmation of the airstrikes or possible damage by Taliban militants, Afghan Defense Ministry has declared that the airstrikes inflicted significant damage to the militants. The deployment of American bombers and gunships further highlights the degree of dependency of Afghan forces on U.S. military support. Also, the development has further raised questions about the reliability of persistent claims made over the years by the U.S. and NATO forces in Afghanistan, that they have primarily been engaged in training Afghan government forces to independently safeguard the country's security against various threats. Meanwhile, the airstrikes came as the militants advanced towards key cities. On Friday, the Taliban captured the capitals of two Afghan provinces in a matter of 24 hours, the city of Sheberghan in Jawzjan and the city of Zaranj in Nimruz.
Of course, the Taliban cannot be expected to provide security to the embassies and diplomats of other countries. And as you mentioned, the incident of the what happened at the Iranian embassy and the killing of Iranian diplomats was a very tragic event. But what more can we expect from Taliban? If you look at Taliban's history, if you look at Taliban's rule in Afghanistan, it's a rule of destruction, of violence and suppression. And I'm afraid we are again heading back into the situation.
Now to Yemen, which had a rally in the capital, Sana'a. Now, the Yemenis went there to protest against the Saudi-led blockade on the country and its raising of custom tariffs. Our correspondent, Abdulib Al-Washali, brings us more.
I can see thousands of people on Sun King now to the removal of the new tariff imposed by the former President Hadi government. People here took to the streets to denounce, to criticize, and to blame Saudi Arabia and to blame Washington for the blockade, for the peace, for the starvation ongoing against their country. The people here today are really upset with the new tariff and the new sanctions and everything in terms of their country. The US dollar was counted as 250 riyals in the past, but now had a government made a decision to count it as 500 Yemeni riyals, and this is a double, a 100% rate. Kashmiris are living the worst humanitarian crisis in the world, according to the UN. They are on the brink of famine. This new decision and this new move taken by Qatari government and taken by Washington and people he believes will worsen the already dire situation. And the people here in Iran really chanting against Washington, against Saudi Arabia, against all the sanctions, against the siege, the blockade imposed on the country. They believe that the siege has to be lifted. They have the right to live. They believe also that the continued absence and the continued silence of the international community is another proof of the Jewish participation and the broken rule on their country and on the sanctions and the tightening the siege of their country. They said the former administration of the White House, when Trump was in the White House, things were bitter, but now with the new president, with Biden, everything is getting worse, and this is proof of the U.S. participation in the war.
The top Iranian military commander says a great part of the United States' decline on the world stage took place in Iraq. Major General Hossein Salami made the remarks in a meeting with Fadal Fayez, the head of the Iraqi Popular Mobilization Unit. He underlined that Iraq's resistance not only weakened the U.S. military in that country, but also made it incur a huge deployment cost. The commander of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps noted that the real political power is the one which makes its presence felt in action. He praised the PMU for its defensive capabilities, internal unity, and lofty ideals. He said the Iraqi parliament's ratification on the U.S.'s troop pullout was aimed at making the country independent and strong, as well as moving forward without the presence of occupiers. The PMU commander, in turn, expressed his gratitude to the IRGC for its assistance in countering the occupiers. Now, the European Union has blamed Iran for last month's deadly attack on an Israeli-managed ship off the coast of Oman. EU foreign policy chief Joseph Borrell claimed in a statement that all available evidence clearly points to Iran. The U.S. and the U.K., as well as Israel, have also accused Tehran of carrying out the attack on the Mercer Street. None of them has provided substantial evidence to back up their claim. Tel Aviv has also threatened Iran with military action. Tehran has vehemently rejected any involvement in the attack that took place on July the 29th. The country has also warned of a crushing response to any acts of aggression against its territory. And now to the United States, where a huge wildfire is raging on in the state of California, leaving a trail of destruction behind as firefighters are trying to contain the flames. Now, the blaze of the Dixie Fire is the third largest in the history of California. It has already destroyed 447,000 acres. In the town of Greenville, most of the downtown area has been leveled. At least eight people are missing. The Dixie Fire started on July the 14th, and officials say it is just 21% contained, and the cause of the fire remains under investigation. From the U.S. now to Greece, where thousands of people there have fled their homes on the Greek island of Evia, as wildfires rage on there and other parts of the country for the sixth straight day. The blaze on the island east of the capital, Athens, has so far devoured thousands of hectares of forest and forced evacuations of dozens of villages. The army has evacuated 2,000 residents, and ferries are on standby to evacuate more people if necessary. Wildfires initially also threatened the northern suburb of Athens, but those flames have somewhat died down in recent days. Now, fires have broken out across Greece during a week-long heat wave, which is being described as the worst in three decades. Vast areas of forests and dozens of homes and businesses have so far been destroyed by the flames. Now, the coronavirus pandemic continues to take its toll on India, as that country is struggling to contain the disease. India reported well over 39,000 new cases during the last 24 hours, taking its overall tally to nearly 32 million. Deaths also rose by 491 to nearly 428,000. India began the vaccination drive in January of this year. Nearly 500 million of the country's 1.3 billion population have received at least one dose of the vaccine. The spike in recent cases is largely due to the more contagious Delta variant of COVID-19 that was first detected in India itself. Meanwhile, Iran has reported 542 new COVID-related fatalities during the past 24 hours, and that's this country's highest daily death toll since the start of the pandemic. The latest deaths push Iran's total tally to over 94,000. The country's overall caseload has jumped over 4.1 million after more than 39,600 new infections were registered. Iran has been grappling with a fifth wave of COVID-19 triggered by the Delta variant for several weeks now. Authorities have sped up a vaccination program in the past few weeks to contain the surge. They've also imposed restrictions in cities labeled as red. That's the highest category on Iran's coronavirus risk scale. Currently, more than 330 cities are regarded as red zones. And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing,
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, August 8, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which programs you like the best. If you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Do remember, listeners, especially the Sunday program, is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. This is Listeners Special. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports, as you may know, are very important and useful to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our engineers and technicians. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. And here, I sent my appreciations to those of our great listeners who have sent us reception reports, including Radar Bo from Norway, Mikhail Sjoberg from Sweden, and Toshio Shibata from Japan. So Radar, Mikhail, and Toshio, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for sending us these reception reports. And here I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from different countries around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program I will read their emails or letters, including Vasily Kuznetsov from Russia, which is one of our old listeners. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India also has sent us an email. Jayanta Chakrabarty is one of our regular listeners. And from India again, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, Shivanupol. And from Austria, we have an email from Harold Seuss, one of our old listeners. And the last but not the least is an email from the UK from Richard Cook. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, please stay with us. I will be back with all these emails and letters. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Russia. This email is from Vasily Kuznetsov, one of our regular listeners. Vasily says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I was glad to listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting on shortwaves. I have very good reception of English and Russian programs of IRIB in Moscow region where I live. For my opinion, the news program of English service is very good. Also, I should say that your website in both English and Russian languages are very informative." So, salam and warmest greetings to you, Vasily Kuznetsov from Russia, and many thanks for reflecting your views about IRIB English radio programs at our website. You both listen to English and Russian programs of IRIB radio. That's great. So you know English along your mother language, your own language, that is Russian, and you listen to both Russian and English programs of IRIB, and that's good. That's great. So you like the news program. As you may know, our effort in IRIB English Radio and our colleagues in the Russian section of IRIB Radio is providing the best, updated, and of course, unbiased news for our listeners around the world. Vasily Kuznetsov from Russia, many thanks for writing this email to us. Write to us soon, and again, tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. From India, we have an email from Shivanupol. Shivanupol from India is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear IRIB English radio, greetings from India. I am Shivanupol from West Bengal, India, and I am one of the regular listeners of Radio Tehran IRIB English radio. About my hobbies, rather than listening to international radios, I love gardening on the roof of my house and in front of the house. Many people are interested in tree plantation and gardening in this pandemic situation. So government and many organizations have distributed trees to the families. However, people here in general like to distribute tree and other plants in their birthday, marriage, anniversary celebrations, etc. One Mahotsav, that is Sanskrit for forest festival, is an annual one-week tree planting festival in India, which is celebrated in the first week of July. In our state, West Bengal, we celebrate Tree Plantation Week every year. I'm interested to know if Iranian people like gardening in their houses or tree plantation. Great. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Shivanupol from India. And many thanks for writing this great email to IRIB English Radio. I learned many things about your country, actually your festivals and traditions. So you are from West Bengal and you sent this letter from West Bengal, India. That's great. You're one of our regular listeners. And you sent this great email to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for that. So you have a great hobby, as you said, beside listening to international radios, you love gardening on the roof of your house and in front of the house. That's great. For those of people that don't have a garden, they can garden on the roof of their house, and that makes the city view very beautiful. Yes, of course, many people are interested in tree plantation and gardening in this pandemic situation, just like me. Yes, for your information, me and my husband have started gardening in the time of the pandemic, and I think that's a great hobby, and of course, in the time of pandemic. So, in your country, government and organizations distribute trees to the families, and that's a great job. Yes. In general, people distribute tree and other plants in their in different occasions, like their birthdays, marriage, and anniversary celebrations, and that's a great habit in your country. Of course, you want to know about gardening in general in Iran, because you said you want to know if Iranian people like gardening in their houses or tree plantation. Yes, of course. Iranian people are very much interested in gardening in their houses, and of course, they if they don't have a garden in front of their houses, they try to collect plants, different plants in inside their homes. I mean, the kind of domestic ones. And if you search for, online for Persian gardens, you will find Persian gardens that are really unique, and they are ancient, you know. Iranian people are the ones who have created these gardens since very old times. Yes, search for Persian gardens and you will find Persian gardens as role models for other gardens around the world. Yes, we are much interested in gardening and planting trees. And of course, we have a day, a holiday for that in our country, and that is in March. And it is designated as the day of planting trees. Anyway, Shivana Paul from India, many thanks for sending us this email. That was great, and it really made my day. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from our dear friends around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back again from India. We have an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our regular listeners. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, greetings to all. I hope that this message finds you all in good spirit and in the best of health. I'm happy to report on programs listened on July 13th. The reception quality was good with a strong signal strength. My report may kindly be verified with a printed QSL card as and when the postal services are normalized. May God bless all members at IRIB English Radio with good health and safety. Warm regards from India." And salam and warmest greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, and many thanks for sending us this email. We also thank God we are in good spirit and in the best of health, me and my colleagues, of course. And we also wish you all the best and wish you good spirit and good health. We are so glad that you found the reception quality good. As you said, you found the reception quality good with a strong signal strength, thank God. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a verification for your email. You also, God bless you. We wish you all the best with good health and safety. And warm regards from Iran. Join the Chakrabarty from India right to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. And from Austria, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Harald Seuss, who says, "Dear staff of IRIB English Radio, I was glad to hear again the signal of your radio station here in Austria, and so I may ask you to send me a verification of my report. I hope you can verify it for me. You can send by this verification by, of course, by email or by post. I wish you all the best for your further transmissions. Your listeners, Harald Seuss from Austria." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Harald Seuss from Austria. And please accept my warmest appreciations to you for sending us this email to IRIB English Radio. So, again, you have received the signal of IRIB English Radio in your region and in your country, Austria. And that's great. We are also glad for that. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card, because it's not possible to send you a paper QSL card. So please accept our EQSL card for you as a verification of your email. We also wish you all the best. Harald Seuss from Austria, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. We also hope that, again, you receive the signals of IRIB English radio in your region. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with another email from UK, that is from Richard Kirk. Welcome back from Richard Cook from the UK. We have an email. Richard Cook says, "Good afternoon. Hope you're well. It's unfortunate that you couldn't send a QSL card due to postal issues. However, an EQSL card is better than nothing. Also, some of your broadcasts can be a bit unlistenable due to interference or very quiet audio. But I hope this issue will be solved very soon. Thank you and have a great evening." First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Richard Cook from the UK. Of course, at the time you were writing this email to IRIB English Radio, maybe it was afternoon, but it's now evening in Iran at the time I'm, reading your email. It seems you're pleased with an EQSL card that my colleagues these days are sending to you at a time of pandemic. IRIB English Radio used to send paper QSL cards, but after the coronavirus pandemic, we were forced to send EQSL cards because of the hygienic protocols and international hygienic protocols, of course. Maybe someday we will soon send out, dear listeners, the paper QSL cards. What you mentioned was a trouble about the interference the broadcast was a bit unlistenable due to interference or quiet audio. What a pity. We are so sorry for that. But of course, I will inform my colleagues, the engineers and technicians in IRIB English Radio about this problem. And it will soon be solved. Thank you very much for sending us this email, Richard Cook from the UK. So write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And now, dear listeners, time tells me we have to skip to the next section of our program, that is today's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Hope you'll enjoy it.
My name is Ulmar Kvik. I am living in Norrköping, Sweden. It's a city located about 120 kilometers southwest of Stockholm, our capital. I have been a school teacher during my active time in a profession, but I am 87 years old now, and I stopped working at school in 1999. However, I have been active as a translator of the Albanian language. I started with that already in the early 1970s, and I'm still going on with it. I've also been active as a volunteer at the Red Cross to introduce young immigrants to Sweden, refugees and other immigrants who have had a need to get better acquaintance and better knowledge of the Swedish language. And I've been working with that also with the project for the younger school children. We had a project during 3 or 4 summers, and I was the boss of this group of young people from countries all the way from Bangladesh down to Somalia who had settled down in Sweden. It was a wonderful job. I had a wonderful experience collaborating with these young people who, some of them Muslims, most of them Christians, and we worked together in a wonderful way. So after I stopped with that because of my age and also because of other circumstances, I have been here at home, and I have been helping some of the students with their further studies up to the university level. I can compare the English radio with the German language radio from Tehran, and I can say that the variations in subject is excellent. However, sometimes there should be more interest in presenting musical items, folk music and other music from Iran to the listeners, because it is extremely difficult to listen with attention, without losing one's attention for up to 1 hour. It is impossible, and for me as a school teacher, this is a well-known phenomenon. If I speak to the school class for 45 minutes, I will see after 30 minutes that their attention is not what it should be. Then I have to do something else to make them interested. So this is a cardinal point in broadcasting. Try to get a variation consisting also of musical items. So this is a small remark, but on the whole, your programs are always interesting, and the listener will find some items of interest in every broadcast, I'm sure.
Now, dear listeners, here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, the Sunday program, your program. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio, and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to English Radio at irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with RIB English Radio.
What about you? IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar. A lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Dear sisters and brothers in Iman, Assalamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let us now come to the present situation of COVID-19, that this is a one of those new occurring situation where we need the guidance of the Maraji. And it's a very good point, and I will leave that at that stage and talk about it slightly in a different way. The Azaf Imam Hussein alayhi salam will not stop, but it will manifest in different ways. Even in this COVID-19 situation. Remember one thing, and I would like to really, you know, I need your attention on this issue. Coronavirus is not a human being. And therefore it doesn't have this bogus and hatred towards Ahlul Bayt or Imam Hussein or the Shias. It is a virus. On its own it is fine. It's only when it comes into contact with any human being, through the mouth or the nose or the eyes, then it can destroy that person's lungs and can even cause death of that person. Remember that the virus can affect any human being, whether that human being is a Muslim or a kafir, righteous or sinful, Shia or Sunni, Christian or Jew, Hindu or Buddhist or Sikh or atheist, doesn't matter. So when we talk about this phenomenon of coronavirus creating problems for us, let us always keep in mind we are not dealing with an anti-Shia person or a government like Mutawakkil or Saddam. We are dealing with a pandemic. We are dealing here with the issue of a virus which is creating problem all over the world. And so sometimes when I hear people saying that, oh, you know, this situation of ours now is very similar to what Saddam had done or Mutawakkil had done, they are, I would say, absolutely wrong. They are comparing oranges with apples. This is al-qiyas ma'al-fariq. If, and this is my belief, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the power of speech to the coronavirus, it will strongly protest against the accusation that it is against the azar of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and it wants to stop the azar. No, this is a virus dealing with human beings. And so this is where Islam will say, and Shia fiqh will say, and our Maraji have said very clearly, that do the azadari even in this COVID-19 situation, But with all the health and medical precautions, such as social distancing, wearing of masks, and other relevant procedures. Let me also make it very clear that the organizers of the community majalis in the Islamic centers and Imam Bargahs and Husainiyas, and those who have private majalis at their homes, they must keep the risk of COVID-19 in their mind. It is their duty to evaluate their own given situation as far as the protocol of holding majalis is concerned, and then they will make the decision of holding it either online or within limited capacity with the medical precautions, or in one way or another, inside the building, outside the building. You know, it is they who will make that decision, not anyone else. As I remember, my brothers and sisters, you know, azar for us is an ibadah. It is an act of worship. It is a ritual, just like salah. And if you look at salah itself, and I'll use this example, there is a normal way of doing salah. When you are healthy in a normal situation, you do the salah according to the proper manner described for it. But when a person finds himself in a situation where he can't do the salah normally, what does the Sharia say? It doesn't say also now you know, namaz, salat is suspended for you. No. That person will have to do the salat in other formats provided by the Sharia itself. If you are not feeling well and usage of water is harmful for you, do tayammum and then do the namaz. If you are not feeling well, you can't stand up, then do sit down and do the namaz. If you cannot sit down, then lie down on the bed and do the namaz, you know, and for ruku and sujood, just do ishara by indication. Either by, you know, moving your neck for ruku a little bit or a little bit more for sajda, or even with the eyelids. If you are in town, you will do your 4 rakat, you know, salat normally. But if you are traveling, then you do it in a shorter form. The main point is that all these different ways of doing salat are equally valid, and there is a sawab in it, in their own appropriate situations. And similarly, now you look at the example of azar of Sayyid al-Shuhada. If it is not possible to do the azadari normally, then do it the way it is possible and safe for yourself and for those who are around you. If you can't congregate in a center normally, then try to do it with social distancing and limited capacity allowed, you know, by the medical officials in your own local city. If you can't even do that, then do your azar at home by listening to a majlis online. The main thing is that you must do the azar in whatever form it is possible and safe. An important point, I might be repeating, but I would like to emphasize that the decision is of, you know, every center, every family will evaluate their own situation and make the decision. The decision is their own, not of a sheikh or a sayyid or a politician or a marja. They will only give you the general guidelines. You will have to implement the guidelines in a given situation of your own center or your own home. And this is where you have to realize that once a center or an individual who is holding a majlis at home makes a decision of doing it one way or another, in one format or another, no one at all has a right to criticize that decision or put down their format of azar, you know, and say that, and judge them that they are lesser on the level of law of Ahlul Bayt and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. No. Remember, everyone is the azadar of Imam Hussein. Respect each one of them. Do not insult any one of them. The hadith of the Imam are very clear. You know, from the days of the sixth Imam onwards, if you look at the hadith which emphasizes the azar, you will see even there, you know, this issue of you know, emphasizing the azan, you'll see the formats are there. For example, you are told, Man baka, aw abka, aw tabaka, al-Husayn wajabat lahu al-jannah. The jannah becomes a wajib on a person, number one, who cries on Hussein, or who makes somebody else cry on Hussein, or a person who just makes a sad face. And so in the hadith itself, you're getting this different, you know, people react in different ways. They will do things in a different way. And this is where we have to realize, you know, let us not be judgmental. And inshallah, everybody will be doing azadari in their own way. The main thing is do it with sincerity, so that Bibi Fatima al-Zahra will accept this act of condolence that we pay to her, and the Imam of the time will be pleased with what we are doing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that azar and that ibadah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all of you under His protection, and may He give us the ability to all the Shias around the world to do the azadari in the best possible manner, in the safe manner, so that we can fulfill our duty and also, you know, gain the salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Ali.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Imam Khomeini guided the Iranian nation to determine their own fate, June 4, 2021. The televised speech delivered on June 4, 2021 by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, on the 32nd demise anniversary of Imam Khomeini. Greetings be upon him. Whenever we involved the people and whenever we made Islam the standard and the main criterion, we moved forward. However, whenever one of these two pillars became shaky, we screeched to a halt. For instance, we should bring the people to the arena of economic matters. I have been repeating for many years that small and middle-sized industrial centers should be developed and expanded. This is due to the fact that these small and middle-sized centers feed millions of people. Millions of people depend on them. This is synonymous with popular presence. If we had strengthened these centers, we would be in a better economic situation now. The same is true of various other matters. If it really becomes common for the honorable officials of the country to both pay attention to Islamic matters, in other words, to observe Islamic rules in their entirety, whether on domestic, foreign, economic, cultural, political, and various other matters, and also to ensure the people's participation, meaning that they should prepare the ground for the people to show their presence and express their demands, all the problems of the country will be resolved. Kind of Islam that Imam wanted. Well, this was the main issue. Imam's statements are important in this respect. He has made astonishing comments. I have written down a short sentence from among his statements. Imam has clear, firm, and solid statements both about Islam and about democracy. As for Islam, he decisively rejected reactionary and eclectic Islam. On the one hand, he rejected the reactionaries, and on the other hand, he rejected the eclecticists, those who feed their audience and society with the ideas put forward by others, doing so in the name of Islam. Imam decisively rejected them.
www.parstoday.com/en.